Book of Psalms this morning. Let's find our place in the book of Psalms. We'll be in Psalms chapter number 90 this morning. Psalms chapter number 90. And we look forward to seeing what the Lord has for us this morning. And let me encourage you to be back in the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Psalms chapter number 90. We're going to read four verses of Scripture this morning for our text. And I hope to provoke your thinking. That's a good thing. And I know some of you are still in a Christmas coma from all of the food and sweets and treats and all of that. So hopefully you can think this morning. And some of you live in that coma year-round, but we'll just call it the Christmas coma. But I want to get your attention this morning. And I think it's a wonderful thing when you come to the end. This is my favorite time of the year, not just because of Christmas Day, but it's the end of the year so we can look back and see what God has done. But I get so excited for the new year and the prospect and the opportunity of what I personally can do for the Lord. How can I grow as a person, as a Christian, and fulfill all the roles that I fulfill, how our church can grow. I get excited as your pastor to see how some of you are going to grow. I love this time of year as I start getting things in place for the new year that God has put in my heart. I love it. And so I want to take advantage of today, the last Sunday of 2025, for us to look at the year and be reminded of some things as we look forward to the new year. Let's begin Psalms chapter 90. Let's begin in verse number 9, and we'll read down to verse number 12. Verse number 9 of Psalms 90. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, there's a lot that we could look at in this passage of Scripture, but I want us to look at verse number 12. So teach us to number our days. That is not talking about, okay, let's count them. Today is day number whatever number it is. Number two, it's not just counting the number of days so that we know how old we are. Some of you have even forgotten that. You've lived so many days, you can't keep up with it. But it's not just that. It is more of, I want to number my days, meaning I want my days to count. You might have some things in your past that you wish you could get those days back. You can't. But you can number your days from here moving forward. You can make your days count. Because, Christian, we are going to give an account of our days. A lot of times we make excuses about what our days involve and what they contain and what they don't. But the truth of the matter is we are told to number our days. Now I want to ask you this question as my message this morning. What do you do with a year? We're coming to the end of a year, going into a new one. So what do we do with a year? What do we do with this year that we've just lived? I think the Scripture will help us this morning with that. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you once again, thankful for your word, thankful for your direction, thankful for the fact that it is a light unto our path, and you always illuminate that next step for us. And Father, I pray that you would use your word this morning to be a challenge, to be a strength, to be an encouragement. Convict us where necessary. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If truth be told, every year ends the same way. When it comes to you and me as individuals, it's not necessarily with a headline or some dramatic moment. I can remember, if those of you that were around, some of you are going to think, wow, Pastor is so old. If you remember back in Y2K, when it hits the new year of the year 2000, the internet's going to blow up. The world's coming to an end. The government collapse. I mean, if you've lived past 50 years, I mean, how many times is that going to happen? But I can think back to that. Is 1999 is coming to the end, New Year's Eve. I'm sitting on the couch with my wife, and we're watching it tick down on television, and, you know, the ball drops in New York. And nothing happened. And I just kind of looked over at her and said, well, nothing happened. I'm going to bed. And I hate to admit it to you, and some of you might be aghast at this, and more of you will probably relate to this. It's been a long time since I've seen 11:59 turn into midnight on New Year's Eve. Because I've lived enough of them to know that it's going to turn whether I'm watching the clock or not. So this not as eventful, some big event, whether or not New York City celebrates, whether or not that ball drops in Times Square, the New Year's coming. It's not, I know there's celebrations, nothing wrong with that, but really you know what it comes down to? It's just a calendar page turning. See, in a few days, this year will quietly become last year. Some people will celebrate the last year. Some will choose to forget it. Some will wish they could erase it. But this morning, I want to ask a different question. What will you do with the year that God just gave you? Now, you might be confused by that question and saying, well, Pastor, how can I do anything if with the year that God gave me if the year has already gone by and we're into a new year? See, what I want us to focus on this morning is not necessarily what happened in this past year, but what did we learn from this past year? See, this morning, I don't want you to put your focus on what you might have lost during this past year, but what did God teach you in your loss from this past year? Because some of you will focus on your loss, and if you're not careful, that's what 2025 will be all about. Instead of what God wanted to use that loss to teach you, to change you, to better you, to increase your faith in Him so that you can see the victory that God provides. I don't want you to focus. We're not talking about what you planned and did or did not come to fruition in 2025. You know what I'm talking about, that long list of New Year's resolutions. And after like January 5th, it's like, okay, whatever. But there were some goals that happened and some that didn't. That's not what I'm talking about. What will you do with the year God gave you? Not what you planned that did or did not come about, but what did you become as a person, as a Christian, as a servant? What did you become because of the year that God gave you? I'm afraid too many times as Christians, we waste the years. Well, Pastor, I did this and this, and I was involved in this, and praise the Lord for that. But what did you become for Christ in the year? Because we either believe that God is sovereign and God is in complete control, or we don't. And the events that took place in 2025, how we respond to them, how we react to them, how we let it change us for the good, change us to be more like Christ, change us, and let's just get, this is put as basic as it could be, to be a better person, a better citizen, a better father, a better mother, a better husband, a better wife, a better friend, a better church member, a better Sunday school teacher, whatever it may be. How did we let the events that took place in this year make us better? Because if we're not careful, we will make these events in 2025 a point of reference to just something that took place on a day that we didn't know was going to happen. Instead of that day that God chose to allow something to enter into our life that He wanted to use to make us better for Him. We find Moses praying in this psalm, not for longer life, but for wise living. That would be a better prayer for us to pray. Nothing wrong with God giving us more years. I remember when Dr. Tom Wallace was here preaching, 95 years of age, and one of our conversations, he said, I've talked to the Lord, and I told God I'd give you 5 more years, so God's going to give me, I'm sitting there thinking, that's pretty amazing just right there, and I want to serve Him for 5 more years, and if He'll give me 5 years, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. It's okay to pray for a longer life, but not if you're going to waste it. Not if it's not going to amount to anything that affects eternity. See, but wise living, sadly, and you'll understand what I mean by this, you can live too long if you live your days foolishly. Because you'll give an account of foolish days. Oh, Pastor, I'm past that. I'm not living the way I used to live. There's more than one way to live a day foolishly. You can live your day foolishly, squandering it on the vices of this world. But you can also live your day foolishly sitting on a church pew and never doing anything with what you hear from God's Word each and every Sunday. You can live foolishly by crossing the paths of people that God wanted you to better. But because we were too focused on just living instead of living with purpose, living while learning. I'll soon, in a couple of months, turn 52 on February 20. Write that down. I'll soon turn 52. And while I believe that I hope that I have some years left, I'm very aware of the days that I have that I want to use them. So God, not just to accomplish. I'm looking at them, God, what can you do in my life to make me have a larger capacity to love, a larger capacity to hold more faith, a larger capacity to serve, a larger capacity to lead, a larger capacity in my prayer. The days that I live and events that took place in 2025, good and bad, I want to reflect on them and say, what am I going to do with that? With that victory, what am I going to do with that? Just an asterisk on the calendar? What am I going to let that victory teach me that I can take into a new year so that when I face another challenge, now this is part of me? What about the defeat? What about the discouragement? What about the burden? What about the heartache? What about the day that a loved one left this life for eternity? What am I to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Is it just going to be a bad memory? And certainly those things affect us. I'm not minimizing that at all. Or can we allow those things that we would think as negative and say, I'm so glad that this year is behind me. You can feel that way and still take the lessons from the year so that you are a different person in 2026. Not from a psychological standpoint, but from what God has used those things in our life to help us grow as a Christian, our faith, even our emotions. Moses is saying we need wise living. Teach us to number our days. Let's make it count. I was asked recently by somebody who's not here, said, hopefully you've gotten a few days to rest. See, I even believe, and you don't have to agree with me on this. I believe even your rest days, I believe in that. Even God rested. He set the, not because He got tired, but to show us that you need to rest. There's a day of rest. I think it's good, but even in my days of rest, I want them to be on purpose. So, Pastor, you're kind of boring. You even plan your days of rest? Yes. And my wife and family will tell you, if it's not planned, even when there's no schedule, I mean, I'm pacing around the house. I need to do something. And I'm not saying, well, I took the whole week off, Pastor. I'm a bad Christian. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is be aware of the days that God has given you so that we number them so that we can make them count. Let me give you 4 statements this morning, and I'll reference some scripture You can write it down. I'll not take time to turn there. Let me say, number one, a year is a gift, but it is not guaranteed. James 4:14 reminds us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. I think it's wise to plan ahead. I've, for the most part, have 2026 planned. Even last night, I was planning some things in 2027. But the truth of the matter is, none of us are guaranteed 2027. None of us are guaranteed 2026. So whatever year we get is a gift. If you look back and say, oh, this was not fun and this was a challenge, every year is a gift. A new year is a gift to you and a gift to me. It's a new start. It's a fresh year. It's some things we can put behind us and look ahead, but it is not guaranteed. It is not something we have a right to. Well, I'll do better next year. Well, we should strive to do better next year, but why don't we try and do better today? Because we're not guaranteed a better year, because we're not guaranteed another year. See, every person in this room started this past year, 2025, with plans, with goals. Some of those came true. Some didn't. Some were forgotten. See, let me tell you what this past year included. It included people you thought would still be here. It included health you assumed would remain. It included stability in your life you believed was permanent. But see, God reminds us through the year that time is stewardship, not a possession. When you were born, you did not receive a package of time where you knew how much time you had. Because we don't know how much time each of us has. But God has given us time, and that is a precious thing from God, to think that God gave us life, that God gave us a plan. And friend, let me remind you, and I haven't said this in a while, God did not give you life and then say, oh, I got to come up with a plan. God crafted a plan and said, I need a life to live this plan. That's how special each person is. That's how special you are. Don't let the world cast doubt on what God has done for you. Don't let the world hold a standard that God doesn't care about that you have to compare to. God created a special life, and then He created you specifically to live that life. That's why you don't need to try and live somebody else's life on Instagram, by the way. Live the life that God created for you. But in that, we're stewards of that time. We don't possess it. You know, you can hang on to 2025 as hard as you want, but you ain't stopping what's coming. That calendar page is turning. It's not a possession. It's something we have to steward. You don't own the year. You were entrusted with it. See, the fact that you're sitting here, we're in this service together on the last Sunday of the year, means God spared you. God sustains you. Every person in here in 2025 faced something that we had to have the grace of God, the strength of God, the power of God to sustain us, even when we didn't realize it was His power, it was His grace doing it. All of us, no matter what life we live, what background we come from, what mountains we've climbed, valleys we've gone through, we all had to have God sustain us. Think about this. You're here because God thought enough of you and loved you enough and had a plan enough for you that He said, I've got to sustain them in their humanity. They're not enough on their own. I'm going to do it because I've got something in 2026 for them to accomplish for me. I've got days for them, so I want them to take this with them. Boy, what an honor and a privilege, the gift God's given us. The question this year for some is not, why did this year have hurts? Because if you live long enough, every year has hurts. When I say live long enough, if you live, every year has hurts. The question is not, why did this year have disappointments? The question is, what did God want you to learn as you live through it? It's to change our thinking instead of, oh, why did God allow this? God, why are you trying to teach me? God, why did you allow me to go through that valley? And friend, valleys are not fun. In days where you don't know if you're going to get through the day, those days are not fun. But in that, what is it that we can learn to grow as a person, grow as a Christian, grow as a servant of God, grow in our likeness of Christ so that we can take with us and be a stronger person of faith, a stronger child of God, believe more in Him? How can our charity grow from what we go through? How can our faith grow? That's the question. Because it is a gift, but it's not guaranteed. So if you are here today and God has brought you this far, there are gifts that God has given us, a calendar year, but what in it can we take with us? Let me say statement number two, a year always leaves a mark. Some of you with the year you've had said, boy, Pastor, that's true. Let me remind you of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. See, there's some things that you say, I don't understand what God's trying to do in that. But God says we know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. It might not have been good for you, but it was good for God and what He's trying to accomplish. Some of you can look back on your life and circumstances and things that took place that you didn't like. You even resisted. You tried to avoid. God put you through. He brought you through it. And now you look back and say, oh, that's really... Yeah, God did know what He's doing. He certainly did a lot of good with that, where I couldn't see the good. See, it's going to leave a mark. So what do you mean by that? Let me further expound this. This year has changed and shaped you one way or another, whether you noticed it or not. You are a different person on this last Sunday 2025 than you were on the first Sunday of 2025. Now, the question you have to ask yourself, am I different in a good way or different in a bad way? The answer to that is probably yes. There's probably areas we've grown and maybe some areas that we've declined, backslidden in. See, some of you are soften us. There's some in this auditorium this morning, even watching my live stream, if I gave them a chance to testify, they'd say, this year, I can honestly say, to God be the glory, has been the best year, been the easiest year. Seems like everything has gone well. Everybody in my family's healthy. I've got a promotion at work. Everything has gone good. I haven't had to go to Walmart at all in 2025. It's been a highlight of my year. And you could testify, this has just been, it's not perfect because life isn't perfect. We're not perfect. But it has been an outstanding year. Be careful that you don't get soft. Because sometimes you get soft in the blessings. America has problems because America got soft. Because it was so blessed. There are churches that are just a short time away from being destroyed because they've been feasting on the blessings of God and they've gotten soft. When the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier, they haven't had a hardness to endure. So they're soft in the battle. And then the adversary comes against the home, against the marriage, against the church, and they've gotten soft. So I caution you today, and all of us can say, God has been good. No matter what you've gone through, God has been good. But you might say, this has just been an outstanding year. Be careful where you're soft. Are you softer in your prayer life because you haven't had to pray as hard? Are you soft in your stand because there's not really been a tough stand to take? They soften us. Then on the other aspect, they soften us from the standpoint of we can be hard. We can have a hardness about us that won't allow us to love, won't allow us to have compassion, won't allow us to see things the way God sees it. You know what it does? It humbles us. Hard years make us patient, make us humble. See, you can come out of 2025, if you've dealt with some hardness in a couple of different ways, you can cross your spiritual arms and thumb your nose at God and say, I just think you've been unfair. You act like that petulant child on Christmas morning that didn't get the color of whatever it is they wanted to have. I just think that's unfair. You can do that spiritually, or you can say, God, I don't understand why we've gone through this, but I'm a lot more patient. I'm going to take patience out of it. Some humility. I had it all planned out, and then I found out that I was not in control. Some years strengthen us. They force us to pray. Let's be honest. We're in church. We can be honest, can't we? Hard times, you pray more. You know, when gas is higher, do you pray more or less? When taxes are high, do you pray more or less? Now, I'm not advocating God give us high taxes and high gas so that we pray more. I say, let's just be people who pray more so maybe those that'll come down. But you get the point I'm making? And when you have struggles, when you have the doctor's report says, we need to follow up on this. Let's be honest, we all pray more. You cannot endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And isn't that a command in the Scripture? That Paul writes to Timothy, endure. That's not like, well, if you feel like it. It's like you endure. That's a call, a command. Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You cannot endure hardness unless you face hardness. So we can look back and say, well, I don't understand that. Maybe the Lord was allowing us to fulfill that command and endure some hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've never been in the military. I've never been through the boot camps. I've never been through all that elite training. Comes natural to me. I've never been through all of that. But I'm certainly glad our military goes through that hard stuff. So when they're put in the hardest of situations, they didn't come off of their couch eating potato chips. They've endured some hardness so they can win a battle against the enemy. And you might have gone through some hardness in 2025 and you don't understand it. You endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ and you be ready to face the adversary. You be ready to get into prayer closet. You be ready to make the stand because the Lord might have been preparing you for something that's coming in 2026. You can push it aside as a year you don't want to relive, or you can take with it the lessons of what is it that God is trying to prepare me for? What is it that God is trying to make me endure so that I can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? As we think of the year always leaving a mark, some years expose us. What do I mean by that? They reveal bad habits. They reveal attitudes. See, when you, this will help some of you parents. I don't like it when a child or teenager, somebody gives a bad attitude. Mom and Dad, I don't like it when you give one either, but that's just another point. Now, I'm not going to put up with it. Some of you won't understand when I say this. I like to see it. Some of you are like, I'm sending my kids home with you today so you can see it all afternoon. No, this is what I mean by that. Because now I can see what has revealed it. And if there's an area where there's a bad attitude, that's an area that needs to be addressed. You know what God will do with some of the years, and maybe 2025 was this year for you. Maybe you copped an attitude about some things in life. And God did us a favor in putting us in a situation to reveal not a weakness in Him and His plan, but a weakness in us that needed to be dealt with. Otherwise, we would avoid dealing with it. Some years expose us. I mean, let me remind you, this is a good-looking crowd. At least from my perspective, I can see me in the monitor back there. I mean, this is a good-looking crowd. I mean, you fixed yourself up this morning. I mean, you at least made an attempt at being presentable. And you're here. But nobody in here is perfect. None of us have it all together. None of us want anybody to know the conversations that were taking place or how loud you yell at your kids in the back seat to stop touching each other on the way to Sunday school. We're all humanity. We all have weaknesses. But God allows those to be revealed through time and sometimes in a year in certain events so that we can see our weaknesses and we can address them. Friend, don't keep just putting a Band-Aid on that weakness. What don't we do with the weakness? And by the way, we all have weaknesses. And why don't we try and make our weaknesses just a little less weak? How do we do that? Well, God reveals them to us. Otherwise, we'd ignore them. We'd overlook them. We would just continue on doing what we're doing. See, some years, quote unquote, would break us. But God never allows that breaking to take place to destroy us. He allows the breaking so He can rebuild us. The Bible is full of examples of that. And there's practical applications you can make to that. Things have to be broken down before they can be rebuilt. And sometimes it's our pride. And sometimes it's our self-reliance. And sometimes it's even our areas of strength. God has to use some time to break those down. And maybe 2025 was that year for you. Don't come out of it bitter. Come out of it with the understanding of God has shown me some things that I need to improve on, I need to work on, so that I'm a better Christian moving forward. I can have victory over this moving forward. Can you imagine what would happen if every person, every member of Emmanuel Baptist Church in just one area of their life said, I got something revealed to me, I have a weakness, I fail in this area, and I'm going to make that improvement as a Christian in 2026. The whole church would strengthen. There'd be more that we could do for the cause of Christ. You would be a better Christian. You could have more victory in your life if we would take 2025 into 2026. And remember, that year always leaves a mark. I hasten number three. 1 year must be put behind us before the next one can be lived. You can't live December 31 and January 1 at the same time. You can look forward to January 1, but it ain't coming until December 31 is over. Likewise, you can't stay in December 31 and enjoy January 1. I think you understand what I'm saying. Philippians 3:13 reminds us, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That verse, and I preached on it not too long ago, is in the context is not we're wiping our memory clean. It's like, but we have to put these things behind so that we can move forward into the new year. I mean, it maybe you have a relative like this, but it gets kind of old that every time you're around them, you hear the same story. Back in 1952, okay, Grandpa, I've heard this 27 times today. Let's leave 1952 and 1952. What have we done in 2025? In order to live the next year, there's some things you're going to have to leave behind. There's some will not be able to move forward spiritually. Don't you think it's a good idea for us to move forward spiritually? What I've already addressed, take these lessons with us. But in order to do that, there's going to be some things you have to leave behind. You know what some of you are going to have to leave behind in 2025? Regret. Anger. Disappointment. Unforgiveness. Guilt. God never intended yesterday to become tomorrow's prison. So, you have a regret about 2025. You can't change it. Why don't you leave it in 2025 and press toward 2026 and not have any regrets in 2026? What about unforgiveness? What's that offense that took place in 2025 or even earlier than that, and you're still holding on to? Well, Pastor, they haven't come and asked for forgiveness. Well, not even a careful study of the Bible, a casual study of Scripture will remind us that they don't have to come to us and ask us for forgiveness for them to be forgiven. We're just supposed to forgive when the offense takes place. And I understand there are larger offenses that affect us. And that's why we have to have the help of God to forgive, the help of God to let it go. But sometimes it's easier than we want to admit, but we want to hang on to that. We want to hang on to that bitterness. We want to hang on to that unforgiveness. You're not going to have victory in 2026 unless you leave behind the bitterness, the anger, the disappointment, the unforgiveness. I mentioned also guilt. You know, God does not make you feel guilty. Nowhere in Scripture will you find an example of God making a Christian feel guilty. So why do I feel guilty? It's not God making you feel guilty. It's not God that brings up. How many of you are saved this morning? How many of you believe that your sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you believe the Bible when it says when God looks at your account in heaven is not really your account? It's Jesus' account, and His account is white as snow. So when God says, I'm going to go check out so-and-so, when He looks, it's a clean record. God is not, now the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to you, but that is not the same as feeling guilt. Because God wants the right made wrong, and then God forgets about it. He chooses to forget about it. So why do you keep bringing it up? Why are you having that conversation with the devil about it? Because he wants you to feel guilty, because that'll keep you from moving forward. If you've got something in 2025 that you wish was not there, confess it. Get it right with him, then move on. Move on. Pastor, I need to pay my penance. No, God is a God that forgives when we make it right. God is a restoring God. Leave it back there, move forward, and understand that if you've made it right with Him, you've made it right. You can't step into this new year dragging the bitterness, replaying the old failures. And by the way, let me just say this. For some of you, you don't want the guilt to be gone because that's your excuse for not moving forward for God. That's your excuse for not taking that next step in your Christian life. You ought to be a Sunday school teacher. You ought to do more. You ought to serve in some capacity. But this is in my past. That's an excuse. Because if Christ died for all sins, and all sins are covered, it includes your sin. It includes what you've done. Let it go. Get it right with Him. Forget about it. Move forward. If God will still use you, let yourself be used. Learn from it so that in a new year, you can have grown from it. Why hang on to what took place in 2025? Why will you let that continue to rule you in 2026? Maybe you're here saying, well, why isn't God working in my life? Maybe He's waiting on you to let some things go. Then number four, and finally, new years require a new consecration. Romans 12:1, I referenced this part of it for time. We're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice. See, a new calendar, I'm not preaching this morning that a new calendar automatically means a new life. Just because you make New Year's resolutions doesn't mean they will happen. We could probably all testify because probably all of us have one on our list that's been on our list for like 15 years and we've never accomplished it yet. Proof that just because you put it on a list doesn't mean it's going to happen. Changes and efforts must be made. There's an old southern saying, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. Well, I prayed and asked God to change this. No, God is saying, hey, not really dummy, but hey, that's me. Hey, stop doing that. Change. If that's a weakness, get away from it. Change what you need to change. Well, I can't get all done. Get up earlier. I don't have enough time in the day. Put your phone down. Whatever you have to do, but it's not just going to magically happen. Oh, it's 2026. Thank God. 2025 is in the past. It's going to be just like 2025 if we don't make changes, if we don't learn from the mistakes in 2025, we don't let God use those things to make us a better Christian. It requires a new consecration. We must set ourselves apart. Spiritual changes happen when the heart is surrendered. Do we believe that God will save any sinner that wants to be saved? Absolutely. Christ's sacrifice was for all, and His blood will cover all sin. So if we believe that, why are we holding on to the false belief that you can't have that change in your life if you'll just surrender your heart? Well, God can't change me. You mean He could save you from your sins? He could save you from a devil's hell, but He can't make a change in your life? It's like all of a sudden, before we're saved, Christ's sacrifice changes everything. There's not a sin it will not cover. There's not a sin that cannot be forgiven. But then something happens when we get saved. It's like, well, I just can't get over that. What do you mean? Either His blood saves everything or it doesn't. The problem is we don't surrender that area of life to the power that can change it. Might I remind us the greatest need in the coming year is not more money? I knew I wasn't getting the amens on that one. It's not more opportunity. It's not more comfort. Because all those things can come when the greatest need is yielded, which is a heart fully yielded to God. Imagine what God would do in your life, and I hasten this morning, if prayer became your reaction for everything. If the Bible truly was your anchor in every situation, not your last resort. Imagine what God could do in your life if faith was not just something you pulled off of a shelf, but it was your daily habit of exercising that faith, showing that faith. What if obedience was your natural response to whatever the Bible commanded, whatever the Holy Spirit led? It was just a natural response of yes, not why or what does that mean. If this is what God says, this is what I'm going to do. See, this morning the question is not what will this year bring. Don't miss this. The real question is, who will I be for God in this new year? And the only way that you can be who you want to be for God in the new year is to take with you the lessons that He wanted you to learn from the old year, leaving behind the things that need to be left behind. I conclude this morning with our text, verse 12 of Psalms 90. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. See, friend, this morning, you don't need to know how many days you have left. Well, if I had this many days, no, you don't need to know that. You just need to make the day you have count. I have today, I'm going to make it count. I'm going to spend time with my God. I'm going to show faith in my God. I'm going to yield my heart to my God. You make today count. And if God gives you tomorrow, you make tomorrow count. This year is coming to an end. You and I can't stop it. But thinking bigger, your life is going to come to an end. My life is going to come to an end, and no man can stop it. But what will never end is eternity. Eternity will never come to an end. So as the year closes, we ask the questions. What are you going to take with you moving forward that is going to affect your life that will then affect eternity? What treasures are you going to lay up in heaven because of the things that God allowed you to experience in the past year that you used to grow in the new year, becoming a, if I can use our terminology, a better Christian? But let's say it like this, a more yielded Christian. Yielded to who? The pastor? No. Yielded to the church? No. Yielded to the Spirit of God. And by the way, you cannot be yielded to the Spirit of God and be unyielded to the Word of God. They are one and the same. That's the goal this year, is not just to get healthy or not just to start saving for retirement. It's to, can I be a better servant of God? Can I be a better child of God? Can I look more like Jesus in this coming year than I did in the past year? Means I have to take some lessons that I haven't looked at it like this so far. That was just a bad day. Or that was just life that happens. But truly, it was something that God would use to work on me, to make me more like His Son. I am going to take that will with me. Who's going to consecrate themselves anew, all over again? Say, Pastor, I did that when I was a child. Well, that's something you have to do all the time. The new year's coming. I'm setting myself apart for you, God. I'm setting myself apart to make you happy, to live for you. See, a new year is not a promise. It's an opportunity. I think we'd all agree we should not waste our opportunities. This morning, as we move to invitation, if God spoke into your heart about something you need to let go and leave behind, when the invitation begins and the altar opens, why don't you come to the altar and talk to God about that and determine that you're going to leave that behind. You'll be amazed at how free you'll be if you'll kneel. And you'll say, God, I've been bitter at this person, bitter at this situation. I haven't forgiven them. I'm forgiving them. What is it that you need to leave behind? What is it that you need? Maybe you want to dedicate the coming year fully to live for God. Not just Sundays, but the full year. If this past year, as we think this morning, and this is a message I really want you to take home with you and keep thinking, revealed areas that you need to surrender. Won't you talk to God about that? Then as we think of eternity, the year's going to end, your life's going to end, eternity's not going to end. Where are you going to spend eternity? See, the Bible teaches there's two choices. There's heaven and there's hell. But I heard it doesn't matter what you heard is what God says. He's the one that's going to determine, based on your actions, where you spend eternity. I think I'd pay more attention to what the Bible says than what some podcaster says. God tells us there's a heaven and a hell. We're all going to spend eternity in one of those two places. If we're going to be in one of those two places, I ought to pay close attention to what God says. Heaven or hell? Well, if you need to get that settled this morning, let me encourage you to come. It's not an accident that you're here this morning. It's not an accident that this message was prepared this morning. You could have been depending all year long, all your life, on living a certain way, belonging to a certain denomination, whatever it may be. But if you've never been honest with yourself and gotten settled for yourself, the year's going to end. Life is going to end. Eternity's not going to end. You want to be sure where you spend eternity. Father, I pray that you'll use this.